Good evening. You're listening to Universal Energy Radio on Blog Talk Radio. This is Self-Mastery via the Path of the Law of Attraction, and I am your host, Mary Jo Bull. Thanks so much for joining me here tonight. Those of you who are joining the podcast through the internet, I hope that you hear something tonight that gives you encouragement and comfort and hope. If while you're listening, suddenly a question comes up or you have something that you would like to maybe talk about a little bit more in depth, you can dial directly into the studio at 718-664-9124. Hit the number 1 on your phone and I'll get an indication that you've got a question and we'll open up your mic and have you join us with your question or situation that you would like to talk through. So this is the third show, the third podcast that I've done since the coronavirus began to take hold here in the United States. And it's been interesting for me to be able to spend longer periods of time in stillness, in quiet, and sort of looking at my experience of what is happening and looking at the experiences that others have been happening or have been experiencing as well. People that are friends of mine, people that I am aware of on social media, my daughter, who has been diagnosed with the coronavirus, that's been an interesting path for both of us. I've been a single mother since my daughter was 14 months old, and we're very close, and we don't live near each other. I live in suburban Washington, D.C., and she lives in North Florida, and I am ever so grateful for technology that we're able to FaceTime and text. I miss her, but this does make it much easier because if you're a parent, you know, when you can see your child's face, you get a lot more information just being able to look in their eyes, even if it is virtually. So I've also got a mentor, a teacher that I've been working with, who's become a very dear friend and advisor. We've been working together since 2006, and I've had a couple of conversations with him, and that's always been really helpful to shift my perspective. Because in times like this, and I think that the best way to characterize this time is a time of great uncertainty. And that, of course, can lead to feelings of insecurity and worry and fear and doubt. My intention with these weekly podcasts is to share information with you and with listeners to help to shift your perspective in such a way that you can align more confidently with optimism and with hope, and ease that burden of resistance and fear and worry. Topics call for such sharing, and I have felt drawn to sharing information like this for many years. I started my own meetup group back in May of 2008. And for a few years, I was doing meetup groups every weekend to talk about the pathway that we know of as the law of attraction. If you're familiar with that term, you know that sometime in the late 1990s, the early 2000s, that kind of became a buzzword. It was the book The Secret came out, and there were many teachers who sort of emerged teaching that information and sharing that information. And as I was becoming aware of this universal law, that information gave me a lot of relief. I have been a worry wart, if you will, almost all of my life, up until my mid-40s, when I started to really experience the embodiment of my spiritual self and my soul. Up until then, I was worried. I was afraid all the time, literally all the time. And I think we all get to a point, if we're lucky, where we say, I can't do this anymore. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be something more. And all it takes is to ask yourself that question. And the information and the teachers and the resources show up to help you. And I think we're all asking that question right now. It's like, what is happening? What is going on? Because this virus is, it does not discriminate, does it? There is, your money's not going to keep you safe, so to speak. It doesn't discriminate because of your socioeconomic status. It doesn't discriminate because of your ethnicity. It doesn't discriminate because of where you live geographically. It doesn't discriminate. We're all subject. We're all potentially subject to it. And so many people are focused on protecting themselves from this virus. And they're doing it through, of course, we're all doing it, certainly here in the United States and in other parts of the world as well, the self-quarantining, the social distancing. Many, if not all, businesses that are able to allow their employees to telework are doing so. I'm going on my third week of working from home. Some people are wearing masks when they go out. Some people are wearing gloves as well. I've noticed that when I go to my local grocery store, I'm doing something I never used to do. I you know, knock wood. I have always had really good health. And I just, like, I don't get a flu shot every year. I don't get the flu. So I think there might be a bit of a correlation there, but that's just my choice. But now when I go to the market, I pull one of the, down the handle of my cart and I wipe my hands off. I'm being aware of my distance around the people who are also in the grocery store with me. We're all doing things a little bit differently. We're adapting. But ultimately, it's because we want to prevent ourselves from getting sick. We want to protect ourselves from illness. And because it varies so differently from person to person, it can be a challenge to figure out what is the best way to protect ourselves when we're outside of our normal, you know, home environment, so to speak. I think one of the best ways that we can protect ourselves is to take care of ourselves and our mental and emotional health. I think that is incredibly important because our thoughts can make us well, just like our thoughts can make us sick. Now, that might be hard to hear. It's not a concept. It's actually true. There's a book that's been out for a while now by Dr. Joe Dispenza called You Are the Placebo. And there's a story in the beginning of that book about a man who had been diagnosed with a form of cancer. And at some point in the story, he is told by another practitioner that he doesn't have this cancer, that it can't be detected. So they're not quite sure who tells him that he does have it. And then he gives him a timeline. He has so many months to live. This man dies, and during his autopsy, there was no cancer found in his body. So did his thoughts stick? It's something to consider. Our thoughts are very, very powerful. Very powerful. No matter which direction you point them in. So it would behoove all of us to learn a little bit more about our mental and emotional health and what goes into helping ourselves with our mental and emotional health. First thing is that, you know, you don't have to believe everything you think. You don't have to believe everything that you hear on television or in the news media. I had a conversation this morning with a longtime friend of mine who, some would say, has good reason to pay attention to health-related issues. And she had heard something on the news, a negative report about were given out by hospital administrators to hospital workers. And she was very upset because the message that she heard was being shared was one that was very unsupportive of the hospital workers by the hospital administration. And when we spoke this morning, she shared what she'd heard, and I asked her where she got her information. Where did she hear this information from? And she hesitated and she said, well, I heard it on the news. And so we talked it out a little bit, and I said, so you have to understand that when you're listening to the news, to the media, at the very best, you're not getting all the information. And at the very worst, you're being manipulated. And so we looked at scenarios that might have occurred where the message that she heard wasn't actually the message that was disseminated. And here's something that's kind of key to keep in mind. A public figure or a figure of authority can be standing up in front of a group of people, whether it's the president of the United States or a hospital administrator or a priest. They can be, they're seen as people who are in positions of authority. And so what they say, their words bear more weight. So suggested to her that this hospital administrator may have actually said that he was encouraging his employees, or employees, I don't know if the administrator was a male or a female, encouraging the employees of the hospital to do their very best not to participate in the panic and the hysteria that is being promulgated in our media, and that the benefit of not being part of that conversation in that way is that people will calm down. That will mean less people coming into the hospital for who don't have the virus or any other ailment, but they're just there because they don't know what else to do. When you get sick, you go to the hospital. And perhaps that administrator was suggesting that for everyone's own good, let's do our very best not to indulge or participate in the panic and the hysteria. Perhaps the administrator addressed the idea or the concept that there might be some shortage of equipment in the hospital, whether it's respirators or surgical masks or gloves or scrubs or anything like that. but that they were doing their very best to make sure that they, you know, were always working to get all of the necessary equipment and resources on site as they possibly could to help the patients and the staff. So that sounds like a fairly uplifting, much lighter message, right? But what we can't account for is the people in the audience who heard the administrator's speech or address to the staff. We all have our own filters in place. And I would imagine, I know I've experienced it, sometimes what people say to you is not what you hear. And those of us who have, you know, children or people who are close to us in our office, then they'll come back with their rendition of what they heard. And it's like, that's not at all what I said. But there's this filter in place. And the filter comes from very early life programming. And I know that we will get into that, you know, on future podcasts. But just understand that there's a filter in place. And that filter is only going to allow you to hear what the filter allows in and out. And so someone or several someones could have been standing in that audience with filters in place that don't allow them to believe that everything is working out and that help is on the way and that they have a lot of power to help keep the public calm and to take care of the patients. They have filters that don't allow them to hear that. The filters that they have in place say, you know, people over or profits over people, and the administration doesn't care about us, and all they care about is making money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's why sometimes you can have two people sit in the same room hearing the same conversations and they'll come out of it and they have completely different takes on what they heard as compared to what was actually said. So the media is manipulating us. And my daughter pointed something out to me yesterday. She said, you know, Mom, I know that you don't pay attention to the news. You hear a lot of what you hear either through me or through other people. She said, I know that one of your problems with it is that they're basically trying to scare the bejesus out of everybody. And she said, you know, sometimes that's not a bad thing because people are gathering in large crowds on the beaches. Again, she lives in Florida because their filters or their proclivities toward life is that this is a hoax. And they don't have to pay attention to that kind of thing, and they're choosing to indulge in activities that could harm themselves and others. So she was trying to suggest that there might actually be an upside to the media scaring the bejesus out of everybody, and I can see that point. That's a very good point. But we each have to learn how to discern for ourselves what is true for us and what isn't. And fear is an emotion, a feeling that can stop you in your tracks and can put you in a place of, I don't know what to do. I'm so afraid. I'm so panicked. I don't know what to do. The purpose, as I said in the beginning of this podcast, the purpose of this podcast is to give you a different point of view from which to consider the information that you're receiving so that you can get some clarity, make some confident decisions for yourself and your family, rather than being and staying in the fight or flight loop of fear and worry and doubt, because it is a loop. It's a loop you can break if you want to, if you choose to, you can. I know this because I did it. And when I did it, since I've done it, I've experienced peace in my life I never knew was possible. There are disruptions, much like what we're experiencing now, but I feel like I have the tools to bring myself back to a feeling of being centered, to infinite intelligence, and to keep myself calm and peaceful. And I believe that is one of the ways that I am going to experience something other than ill health. It's my decision to choose to experience well-being in every area of my life, not just my physical health. And this is how I do it. And this is why I want to share this with you, because I think once we recognize that we do have a tremendous power available to us through our thoughts and emotions, once we recognize that there's value in paying attention to how we feel, because it is an indicator. It's not a validator, it's an indicator. How you feel is an indicator of how centered you are and how aligned you are with whatever name you use to call upon your higher power. So when I had my conversation over the weekend with my mentor, his name is David, it was a conversation that had a tone to it that I hadn't experienced him before. And I'm not sure how to characterize that to you, but it's just worth noting that there was something different. And so that night, before I went to bed, I meditated, because since we've started with this current paradigm, I have begun to meditate twice a day. Once in the morning when I first get up, I get up, I wash my face, brush my teeth, make my bed, and I sit down and I meditate. And then I meditate again at night before I go to sleep. And as I was meditating, and when I meditate in the morning, I'm sitting up, and I have a chair that I use to read and meditate. When I'm meditating at night, I usually do it lying down. I get myself comfortable in my bed, comfortable with my pillows, get myself covered up, just get very, very, very comfortable, so my body just feels very comfortable and supported. And I kind of let myself drop into a deeper sense of feeling, a different tonal quality or quality of essence of feeling. And I was looking, quote unquote, looking at my conversation with David earlier in the day, and I received an epiphany. And the epiphany was that in that moment, as I was having this conversation with David, my typical go-to, and this I'm sure is an echo of past programming, shows up every once in a while to help me recognize that I have another opportunity to peel back another layer. And what came to me, the epiphany that came to me, is that for most of my life, my default was that I wasn't enough. I wasn't good enough. I was always lacking. I was going to always have to strive to be better, that there was always something in me to be overcome, worked through, repented of, if you will. And when I received that thought, which comes from spirit, that doesn't come from me. Because if it came from me, it would not have a supportive frequency to it, if you will. The thoughts that come from me are the ones that tell me that I'm not enough, that I have to strive to be better, that I have to repent, that I'm not worthy. So a thought that I receive that says to me, that was an old way of looking at things. There's another way that you can look at this. It feels uplifting. I felt expansion in my solar plexus, because you know, when we're in fear and worry and doubt, we experience contraction. That's what makes us breathe shallowly. But when we experience expansion in our solar plexus, say, we can take much bigger, deeper cleansing breaths, which feel really, really good. And when I received that epiphany, I felt that expansion in my gut, and I took a deep breath, and I said to myself, I see that, I received that. So what is the other perspective I could take? And immediately it came to me, a quote by one of my favorite authors and teachers. Her name is Marianne Williamson. And in the very beginning of her career, 30, 35 years ago, she wrote a book, which I recently have begun to reread. And the book is called A Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. Marianne had her own very interesting maturity in her 20s, kind of couldn't figure out who she, you know, like we all do, couldn't really figure out who she was, what she was doing here, what was her purpose. And there's a wonderful saying in metaphysical circles, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And one day she was in a friend's apartment, and there was a navy blue volume sitting on a coffee table, and it had gold writing on the cover, and it drew her attention. And when she looked at it, it was called A Course in Miracles. And I highly recommend this as a learning tool and as a teaching tool. But as a result of her experiences teaching A Course in Miracles, she wrote a book called A Return to Love. And this is one of the quotes in this book, very different than the sort of default that I had been operating under for many years. I'm going to read you the direct quote. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. So this is me, side note. That sums up most of my fear in my life up until my mid-40s, when I started to really shift it. That it's very succinct and to the point. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Now think about that. We are powerful beyond measure. And that's true because of who we are and where we come from. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Again, this is me, side note. I grew up in sort of a family paradigm where that who do you think you are was dominant. And so I resonate with that sentence in this quote. Who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Going on with the rest of the quote, actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So take a look at that. I imagine many of you listening to this show can resonate with the idea that our deepest fear is that we're inadequate. The world tells us so every day. Every day, commercials on TV, you're not thin enough, you're not blonde enough, you're not young enough, you're not pretty enough, you don't have enough money, you don't have enough health, everything is precarious. Those messages are coming at us all the time. And frankly, we have learned to just acclimate to them. Most of us don't even bother to stop and say, wait a minute, I don't want to believe that, because we learned how to acclimate to it. This is how most of us were conditioned from the time we were young. And we were conditioned in that way by parents or caregivers who were also conditioned in that way, by parents or caregivers that were also commissioned in that way, and so on and so on and so on, and back and back and back it goes in the family line. There's a scripture that talks about the sins of the fathers. That's what that is. Those unconscious false beliefs that we don't question because we don't think to, or we don't think we have the right to. Those unconscious beliefs and patterns get passed down through the family line. Those are the sins of the fathers. So the epiphany here was this line, our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. So what does it mean to be powerful beyond measure? I mean, when we really know who we are and where we come from and what we can do, it changes some things. And the ego, the part of us, and when I talk about the ego, unlike a lot of teachers, I don't bash the ego. The ego has a place. It has a purpose. It starts to go sideways when we forget who we are and we believe that we're separate from that which created us. But the ego's job is to help us choose. We have experiences and we decide what we like and what we don't like. But there are things that are true about the ego, like we are what we have, and we are what we do, and we are who we know, which those are boundaries for living within a physical world. Those are not true in the spiritual world, in the spirit world. So the more we are focused on those boundaries, the more we believe that we're separate from that which created us and intended itself here to have this experience. So the idea that you're going to work on giving yourself permission to believe and then believing that, oh, there's so many, that you have to perform a certain way or show up in a certain way so that others will approve of you. When you begin to understand the truth of who you are and where you come from, that goes away. That kind of dissipates. And we can get to a place where we can lovingly say to someone that we care about, I appreciate that you have your opinion, but I don't operate that way. I appreciate that you think what you think, but that's not true for me. Because frequently when we have that conversation with others who aren't in the same place that we are, they take offense. And at our, you know, at our deepest physical core, we are part of the animal world, right? And we have this very primitive belief system that there's safety in numbers, you know, that it's safer to be part of a tribe. It's safer to be part of a group. And there was a time when that was true, you know, back in the days when we were walking the earth along with, you know, all these, you know, saber-toothed tigers and, you know, T-Rex. And I'm not very good at prehistoric history, but there was a time when human beings traveled together because there was safety in numbers. And so there's something within us that rebels against the idea of not being part of a tribe, because there's that sense of inherent safety. But one of the signs of spiritual maturation is not really giving a rip what other people think or what other people believe about us. And that can be very threatening to the ego, as you can imagine. So, who are we to be powerful beyond measure? That can threaten our sense of self and our sense of safety. And I came to recognize that after my conversation with my teacher, with David. But this particular quote, for me, is a paradigm shift. Because I don't tend to see myself in those terms. And I'm recognizing that it might be helpful for me to start looking at myself in that way. I believe that events like what are going on in our world today, now, are opportunities for us to wake up and know ourselves. And when I say know ourselves, what I mean is to wake up and recognize the parts of our consciousness that are not in alignment with the truth of who we are. So on the podcast page, I have text describing the content of that evening's podcast. And there are two quotes on here, from the Gospel of Thomas. And if you're not familiar with the Gospel of Thomas, it was not part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. In fact, it was discovered along with other scrolls in 1945. In Nag Hammadi in Egypt, and it is part of what is now known as the Nag Hammadi Library. And the Gospel of Thomas was it's a collection of sayings, quotes directly from Jesus Christ that were recorded by those closest to him. And I have a copy of it here in front of me because I've begun teaching about it on a page that I maintain on Facebook called Essential Tools for Profound Transformation. So the text of this Gospel of Thomas starts off saying, these are the words of the secret. Secret is capitalized. I believe this is where Rhonda Byrne got the title of her book. That I believe this is the inspiration for the title of her book. They were revealed by the living Yeshua, Yeshua being another name for Jesus. Didymus Judas Thomas wrote them down. And the first logan, or verse, says, Yeshua said, whoever lives the interpretation of these words will no longer taste death. And all in all, there are, how many logans are there in this thing? There's a lot. I probably should have had that available right from the get-go, but I didn't know I was going to talk about this. There are 114 logans all together. So the first one basically says, if you study these verses, if you study this information, and then you live the information that's in here, you will no longer taste death. Now, I confess, I don't exactly know what that phrase means, but it's intriguing, and it certainly gets my attention. The second Logan says, Yeshua said, whoever searches, continue to search until they find. And that is me, by the way. I have been a seeker my whole life. I just didn't know it until the past several years. I live and breathe and sleep and talk about this stuff all the time. I'm always looking at experience through the lens of this information. It's just kind of who I am and what I do. So whoever searches must continue to search until they find. When they find, they will be disturbed. And being disturbed, they will marvel and will reign over all. And I can tell you from personal experience that this is true. When you decide to live your life and think the thoughts of and feel the feelings of and make choices because you believe and have given yourself permission to believe that you are a spark of the divine in a physical body imbued with the powers of creation through thought and emotion, and then you start making choices from that platform, and then you start seeing reflections, outer reflections of your inner state and inner thoughts show up, yeah, it can be disturbing the first few times it happens because you're like, you know, wow, what? But eventually, as you become more and more used to this occurring, then you will marvel and reign over all. I want to give you just a quick example. It might seem silly, but to me, it seemed pretty cool. So I mentioned an author earlier in the show by the name of Dr. Joe Dispenza. And I started paying attention to Joe probably about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I met him at a talk that he was giving in West Virginia. And I was very moved by that conversation. And I remember thinking to myself, this guy's the real deal. What he's sharing is important. So I, of course, then immediately forgot about him for about 6 months. And then a condition came up, a circumstance came up in my life that elicited a great deal of fear, worry, and doubt in me. And I was reminded to go back to what he shares in his talks and books and what have you. So I looked up his TED talk. He did do a TED talk, and I really recommend that you go and watch it because it will illustrate much better than I'm doing now the information that I'm sharing with you. But I went back and I looked for the TED talk, and I was really intrigued by that TED talk. And so I just started, and he's got a ton of videos on YouTube. So I just started searching for his videos, downloading them, and saving them. And I came across an interview that a woman had done with him. It was a two-part interview, and she was from New York or New Jersey. She had that accent, and I don't believe she was a professional media person. I don't think she was a reporter. But she was a very good interviewer. She did a really, really nice job interviewing him. A lot of folks who interview him or people of his stature, they just get so caught up and giddy in the fact that they're sitting there with this person who is, you know, fairly well known. This woman did not indulge in that. She really conducted a very nice two-part interview. And during the interview, Joe described how, and you can also see him talk about this in a movie that came out in the early 1990s called What the Bleep Do We Know? He was featured. He was one of the featured cameo speakers in that movie, where he talked about, along with talking about on this interview, how he would set his intentions in the morning during meditation for a life experience that he wanted to create. And he was asking for assistance in creating that life experience, co-creating that life experience with divine intelligence. And he would be as clear as he could be with what it was he wanted to create. And then he would say, I have taken the time today to emulate you, and I would like you to give me a sign that you've heard me, and a sign that I cannot possibly mistake, that I will know comes from you. I couldn't make it up, and I will be looking for that. Thank you very much. And then he would go about his day. And so as he was explaining this to this reporter, or to this interviewer, I should say, when he said, I ask for a sign that I've been heard. And as soon as he finished saying that, this random red balloon goes floating by his window, out the window outside. And they both stop their conversation and they're looking at this balloon that's just kind of floating by. And they look at each other and she says, like a red balloon. And he says, yes, exactly, like a red balloon. And they kind of laugh it off. So I saw that video probably 4, 5, 6 times. It was one of my favorites, actually, to go back and listen to when I needed a real shot, jolt of encouragement. So it was 4th of July. It was around the Independence Day holiday, probably 4 years ago. It was a Friday. And I think Independence Day was probably that weekend. But I was driving home from work, and it was about 8 o'clock at night. And so since it was July, it hadn't gotten dark yet. It was kind of, you know, almost getting to be dusk. But, and I live in a pretty, well, it's not really rural, but there's lots of wide open space where I live. And the roads are not congested. Often you can drive from one end of this one particular road to another and you might encounter two cars. And there's lots of hills and curves and that sort of thing. So I turned onto this road from another main road. Now, mind you, I hadn't listened to that particular video in probably 2 weeks. And when I was driving home from work, I wasn't thinking about that video. I was thinking about something that happened at work that day. I was probably upset, knowing me, at the time. I was just sort of ruminating on something else. And I turned onto this road, and it has like just a slight incline up to a little hill. And as I'm getting ready to come over the hill, I see something off in the distance. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, what is that? And so I come up over the hill, and as I'm, you know, coming up over the rise, it's a red balloon. It's in the middle of the road. It's weighted. It's got some kind, you know, how you, when you buy those helium balloons, oftentimes they'll tie some kind of a heavier plastic weight on the end of the string to keep the balloon in place. So it was weighted with something on the end of it. And it was just literally standing, if you will, in the middle of the road. It was right on the dividing line between the two lanes, just sitting there in the middle, a red balloon with a red ribbon. So I'm slowing down as I'm pulling up to it. And of course, you know, your logical mind kicks in and it's like, well, there must be a party going on nearby, you know, a birthday party, or it's the 4th of July. Someone's probably getting ready for their fireworks party or what have you. So I slowed down because I could. Again, this road is not well traveled. And so I'm slowing down and I'm looking around at the houses that I can see, looking for lots of cars, you know, bunting. There's a lot of bunting out here during celebrations. I was looking for red, white, and blue bunting, looking for balloons tied to mailboxes, which is usually an indication that there's a birthday party going on, or, hey, the birthday party is here. Looking for any indication of some kind of a celebration where there would be people around. And there was nothing. There was no bunting. There were no balloons tied to mailboxes. There were no extra cars in driveways. There were no people out milling about. It was just a very quiet July evening with this red balloon in the middle of the street, in the middle of the road. So I pulled up to it, and of course, immediately I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just like that Joe Dispenza video. And I rolled my window down and I looked out at this balloon, and I'm just sitting there looking at it. I mean, I imagine if someone was in their house, you know, looking out their window at me, they'd be like, what is wrong with that woman? What is she doing? But I just stood there looking at this, sat there in my car looking at this balloon and thinking, is this real? Is this really happening? So I kind of, you know, I sort of stuck my finger out the window, my arm out the window, and I kind of poked the balloon. And it was like, oh my gosh, this thing is real. I just sat there probably for a good 30 seconds just looking at this balloon. And then again, like looking around, where did this balloon come from? But it was just sitting there in the middle of the road. So finally I decided, well, I thought about taking it with me, but something in me said, no, just leave it. You don't need to take it with you. You've had the experience you needed to have. So I just left it and I continued driving down the road, and I was looking in my rearview mirror and I could still see it for a little while, but then I went around the bend and it was gone, or I couldn't see it anymore. So an illustration of something seemingly silly and nonsensical, something that I had been interested in and didn't have any resistance to, paying attention to Joe and this interviewer and this random red balloon. What you focus on expands. What you focus on, you draw into your life experience. Whether it's something big or tiny. There's an expression, it is as easy to create a castle as a button. It's just about your focus. It's just about what you think about and how you feel. Easy peasy. Well, easier said than done. It does take some practice, but once you practice and you get some results, it gets easier. Like the scripture says, they will be disturbed, and being disturbed, they will marvel and will reign over all. That's what I want to share with you tonight on this podcast, is that we all have the power of creation inside of us. And that's what we're here for. We're here to create. But over all this long time, millennia, we have become so focused on distractions from the truth of who we are that we've forgotten who we are. We've had way showers show up to tell us otherwise in some shocking and memorable ways. Jesus Christ was one of them, to remind us of who we are and what we are capable of doing. Do you know there's a scripture where Jesus is telling his disciples, he's acknowledging the miracles that he's performed, and he says, these things will you do, and more than these things you will also do. So what he was saying was, you can do it, I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And as consciousness expands and we become more and more aware, we'll be able to do even more amazing things. And this is something that science has proven, is that once a human being accomplishes something that most believe cannot be accomplished, once it's accomplished, others then come forward and accomplish the same thing. Perfect example is the Olympic runner Roger Bannister. Until he ran the 4-minute mile, it was believed that it was impossible to run a 4-minute mile. There's no way. It couldn't be done. He ran the 4-minute mile within a very short period of time, and I'm talking weeks. Others ran even greater than a minute. They ran 3.56 minute miles. This is what way showers do. They make it available to everybody. That's not the right way to say this. It's already available to everybody. But that when they demonstrate the possibility and the real and the reality and the potential, and people see them do it, something clicks in consciousness, and they're like, well, if he can do it, I can do it too. So as you are living your life and having your experiences around this new paradigm that we're all sharing, I would just encourage you to pay attention to how much of your focus is deliberate and how much of it has been hijacked. And I would encourage you to pay attention to how you feel, because how you feel is an indication of what you're thinking about. As I just stated, what you think about, you bring about. What you focus on expands. So our feelings are actually a tool to tell us that what we were focusing on either is in alignment with the truth of who we are, or it is not in alignment with the truth of who we are. And we can choose other. We don't have to go down the rabbit hole. We don't have to go down the scary path. If you can allow yourself to give yourself permission to honor how you feel and to recognize the value that it holds, your life will change for the better, and it'll change pretty quickly. Feeling is prayer. Feeling is prayer. Feeling is how you talk to the universe. The universe hears through vibration, if you will, and feeling is frequency and vibration. We live in a world that doesn't honor feelings, and it doesn't honor emotions, and that's changing. And part of the reason it's changing is because people like Joe Dispenza, on a broader scale, and then other individuals, much lesser known like myself, are demonstrating it on a more personal and individual level. But that, you know, there's that saying, a rising tide lifts all boats. Once it's available to one, it's available to all of us. So if you're one of these people who has a hard time doing something for yourself, doing this inner work to benefit you, I would let you know that those around you will benefit from it too. So if you can't do it just for you, do it for the others around you as well. Because then everybody will benefit. Everybody will benefit. This is how you change the world, literally one person at a time. And we're all this, what this virus is doing is, at a macro level, it's affecting the microcosm. So at the macro level, it's forcing us to come face to face with ourselves. And if you like what you see when you come face to face with yourself, then you're in good shape. If you don't like what you see when you come face to face with yourself, there's a way to work with that. Because the things that are showing up that scare you, that cause you concern, are showing up because, and this is another verse from the Gospel of Thomas, recognize what is in front of you and is what, let me start again. Recognize what is in front of you and what is hidden from you will be revealed. So when something shows up and it elicits uncomfortable feelings in you, it's there to reveal something that's present in your consciousness that doesn't serve you anymore. The rest of that, Logan says, there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. That's what's happening right now. There's a lot of things that are being revealed that have been hidden for a long time, but not anymore. This is the time that we're living in. So again, that Logan from the Gospel of Thomas says, recognize what is in front of you and what is hidden from you will be revealed. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And one more Logan to share with you from the Gospel of Thomas to iterate what I said just before the other. When you bring forth that within you, then that will save you. If you do not, then that will kill you. When you bring forth that within you, so when something is that was hidden is revealed to you, and you make the choice to do that inner inquiry, what is the message? And that's the question that I advise folks that I mentor and teach in meditation, asking yourself, what is the message that you're bringing me? Whether it's an illness that you're experiencing or a condition, anything that causes you to feel uncomfortable, there's a message. Ask yourself, what is the message? Because when you bring forth that within you, then they save you. If you do not, then that will kill you, is what the Logan says. Basically, you think that you've got stuff buried. You think that you've got stuff suppressed. It's not going anywhere. And it's going to come out. And it takes some courage and bravery initially. But once you've done it a couple of times, you'll actually, it sounds really bizarre to say this, but you kind of look forward to your next dark night of the soul. When you get through the first, the second one, you're kind of like, yeah, bring it on. That, because it's so liberating. It's so liberating to put that fear or worry or whatever in its place. It's so liberating to recognize when you've been carrying something that no longer serves you and that you have the choice to just let it go. I recognize that's where I was before. I'm not there anymore. I don't want to believe that anymore. I'm going to change what I think about, and I'm going to change what I believe. So lots of people listening, no questions. I imagine I've given folks a lot to think about. I really do hope that this podcast tonight sheds some light for you and shed some light for you on a path to feeling better and more confident and more powerful and more stable. Because like Marianne Williamson's quote says, you are a child of God and you have all of the powers of creation through thought and emotion available to you at any time. And all you have to do is change the way you think, change what you think about, change how you feel. And honestly, it doesn't take very long for things to shift. I mean, it can happen in a day. It can happen in a week or a month, but it will happen. It's worth the effort. It is definitely worth the work. Great show tonight, I hope. I hope that you all enjoyed it, those who are listening tonight, those who will hear it in the future. I'll be back here again next Wednesday, April the 8th, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to thank you for listening to this show here on Universal Energy Radio. And if you like the show, please visit Universal Energy Radio at iTunes and like the page and rate the show. You can also leave a comment or a question on the show page. When this podcast is done, it will take usually 4 to 8 hours for it to be archived, and you can go back and listen to it anytime you want. I hope that you will connect with me if you're not already. I hope you'll connect with me through social media. I love to get questions from people and help them work things out. If you'll visit my website, which is www.logos, L-O-G, like go, O-S, praxis, P like Peter, R-A-X, like x-ray, I-S, like Sam.com, logospraxis.com. If you'll visit my webpage, you can click on my social media icon to connect with me that way. You can send me an email, especially if you have a question, a comment, or something that you'd like to work through. There are testimonials on that page, and you'll see that many of those people whose testimonials are posted up there are people who I have connected with through various sources and pathways, who actually I have suggested to them, hey, do you want to have a phone conversation? And we have a phone conversation, and we can work things out really, really quickly. Sometimes all it takes is one conversation and things shift. And I don't charge for those conversations presently. So I really am all about wanting to help people get more and more clear about the truth of who they are. So again, please visit my website, logospraxis.com. Reach out to me through social media. Let's connect, especially now. Connections are so important, especially right now. Send your emails. Love to hear from you. And I'd also love to hear from you if you have suggestions for show topics for coming podcasts. I would love to specifically address questions or ideas that you might have rolling around in your noggin. Hope you'll share those with me. Again, thanks for listening, and have a great week, everybody. Good night.